Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. The day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from the sky what sounded like a strong driving wind, a noise which filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them flames like tongues of fire distributed among them and coming to rest on each one. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other tongues as the Spirit gave them power of utterance. Now there were staying in Jerusalem devout Jews drawn from every nation under heaven. At this sound, a crowd of them gathered and were bewildered because each one heard his or her own language spoken. They were amazed and in astonishment exclaimed, "Surely these people who are all speaking are all Galileans. How is it that each of us can hear them in his or her own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, of Judea and Cappadocia, of Pontus and Asia, of Phrygia and Pamphylia, of Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, all of us hear them telling in our own tongues the great things God has done." They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What can this mean?" Others said contemptuously, "They've been drinking." But Peter stood up with the 11 and in a loud voice addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, listen and take note of what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what the prophet Joel spoke of. In the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all humankind. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yes, on my servants and my handmaids I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a pall of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before that great resplendent day, the day of the Lord, shall come. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord on that day shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Did you know that the word conspire means to breathe together? So take a breath and blow it out. Now you've just launched a conspiracy. You can hear the word spirit in there too. To conspire, to be filled with the same spirit, to be enlivened by the same wind. Isn't that kind of what happens when we come here together and worship together? We come and the Holy Spirit kind of blows through here and it creates something unique. It's something that none of us are when we are by ourselves. We are a unique community when we come together filled with the same wind. The songs we sing, the prayers we pray, the words we hear, and the very breaths that we take. Conspiring together, breathing the breath of God together. Now, I'm going to be honest here, but I won't use any of your names. There's a whole bunch of you here that over the years have talked to me that have said that you're very suspicious about belonging to the church. You tell me that you love being in this community, but you're uncertain about what to call yourselves. Certainly saying, "I am a Christian," stops some of you dead in your tracks. When I was in seminary, we called it a hermeneutic of suspicion. Now, a hermeneutic of suspicion mainly applied to a way of interpreting the Bible, to be a little bit suspicious of how the text had been used. But I'm going to apply it to about everything today. Don't we have kind of aren't we a congregation of a little bit of hermeneutic of suspicion? Oh, we have people saying yes out loud. So even though I have not told you who you are, some of you are willing to reveal yourselves. And yet we come to conspire and to breathe in and out that spirit that enlivens our lives, and we feel it when we come here. It is as real as the families we belong to, the places we work. It is a community of faith. It is a family formed by the Holy Spirit. In our diversity and our differences, when we come together, we belong. We belong here. And one of the benefits of belonging is that somehow we understand each other in profound ways, even when we don't know each other. We come with a common purpose. We share our prayer concerns each week, which is a very unique thing to do in a church. And when you think about it, is the breath of one person sharing a story about their own lives and then making that concern and that joy our concern and our joy. It's a conspiracy theory of sorts. The apostles, Luke tells us, in the Acts of the Apostles, conspired on that day of Pentecost, sharing their breath through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the amazing thing about that day is that a small group of people gathered in a house. It was just a small group, maybe a church house. Jesus was gone from them. They were waiting. Jesus had told them that he would send the Spirit. And they were waiting. So this small band of followers are together in a house, and suddenly they begin speaking in tongues and languages that are not their own. And sometimes we miss this part. All around town, there were people walking around, people who had come from all over the world for the Jewish holiday of Pentecost. And they began hearing their own languages. They were out on the street, walking around. It would be as if we were walking down the street in a foreign country and all the people from all over the world suddenly heard their own language coming out of one small house. People babbling on. Pun intended, okay. Babbling on, okay. Oh, well, I'll have to preach on that text sometime. So imagine people are sticking their heads in the windows, pushing through the doors to gather around this little house where they hear their own languages. Now, these are supposedly all Galileans, and yet it was like they were in their own country. And before the day was over, Luke tells us that the church had grown by over 3,000 people. Now, I figured when I got to that point that some of you who have a hermeneutic of suspicion might be saying, I hope she's not going to ask me to do that. Right? You told me, Pastor, that I could have a healthy hermeneutic of suspicion. You aren't going to tell me now that I'm supposed to help the church grow and speak in tongues and other languages, are you? My answer to you is yes and no. Let's go back to the story. All the people who had come from all over the world did hear people speaking in their own tongues. But I don't think that's enough to transform people for their entire lives, do you? Breathing in and out the very breath of God, sucking in God's own breath and being changed forever. I mean, they didn't hear things like, where are you going for dinner tonight? How you doing? Isn't it weird that I can speak in a tongue that I don't even understand? No, what they were saying, the story tells us. All of us hear them telling in their own tongues the great things that God has done. They were telling the stories of God. They were proclaiming the great things that God had done in their lives. They were telling the stories of Jesus and how he had changed their lives forever. But I, again, digress back to that scary place, into that area where most of us in the main line, particularly the progressive church, say, I'm just simply not comfortable, Pastor. I come here to worship, Religion is private. I don't know if I could tell friends about what I do here. In fact, I might even pretend I don't come here on Sunday. How many of you have friends who, if you said, I want to tell you about what the great things God has done for me, would turn and run so fast that you may not see them again? Uh-huh. Right. But I have a conspiracy theory of my own. I want us to wonder what would happen if we spoke in the language, the cultural language of the people in our lives. Not the language of Mesopotamia or Cappadocia or Asia. That actually might be easier. But sharing the things that God has done for us in our lives to people who are very suspicious of religion and the church. People who have walked away because they think that the church is filled with hypocrites. Which, by the way, the same people are here who are outside. So, yeah, we all err on that side once in a while, don't we? People who have left the church because they watch the media and they see a place where not everyone is welcome. That is not true here either. Or people who think that the church is all about judgments, day in and day out telling us what it means to be a Christian rather than asking us what we need. But you and I both know that that's not the whole story of the church, or we would not be here. Where else can you come to ground yourself in the holy, to be changed from the inside out, to be nudged to give back to God's gracious creation? Where else can you come and share your stories and share your prayers? Where else can you bring your doubts and your fears? Where else can you come to celebrate the gifts that God has given us and to raise our voices in praise? There really is no other place like it. And we have a great story to tell about the things that God has done for us. The good news is that we do not have to tell the story alone. We have the breath of God to conspire with us. When Jesus let go of his last breath willingly, we believe for the love of us, that breath hovered close by him for a while, and then it was let loose on the world. And it was a breath so full of passion, so full of life, that we are still breathing it in and out today in this place, in this time. The mighty wind of God is our gift from God. We are the inheritors of every single breath that Jesus took. Breathing in and out, the Holy Spirit can help us share the great things that God has done for us. And I know it is scary because we live in a time where people are suspicious of everything. But we have stories to tell about how God has changed our lives. We can call it air, or we can call it the Holy Spirit, but it promises to set our heads on fire and giving us tongues to speak. It is a promise God has done for all of us. And when we in turn share that story and we breathe out that breath, a part of us is attached to it. And we can give hope to those who do not believe that this type of God even exists anymore. Do you believe in a God that acts like this? I don't know your answer, but I'm going to ask you to take in a deep breath and join the Holy Spirit conspiracy, and then we'll see what happens next. Amen.